verses from there. Ephesians 6, and I'm going to end up in Philippians 4, between a lot of other scriptures. So Ephesians chapter 6. Today I want to talk about a strong spiritual immune system. A strong spiritual immune system. Ephesians 6, I'll start at verse 10. I'll read through verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6. Starting in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. By the way, tonight's service will be talking at 6 o'clock about things you want to put out and things you want to light. And so verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. All right, let's pray. We'll talk about our spiritual immune system. Father, this is all about you. It's all about serving you. It's all about us getting victory. Even us getting victory is not about us. It's about you having vessels of honor that'll glorify you and be able to do your work and show your light. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to get what we need as we study this, Lord. I pray that you'd speak in a mighty way. I pray that you would help us to have ears to hear. We're a little tired today, Lord, if some of us had busy weeks, but I pray you'd give us attentiveness to the spiritual truths, to the Word of God, and you'd speak to us and change us. And if somebody doesn't know you as Savior today, may they know you as Savior. If some people are weak today, I pray they'd become strong, and I pray you'd help them to go to the next level spiritually. And I pray all of us would be edified and drawn closer to you. Please, may your Spirit move as we talked about during the 10 o'clock hour, Lord. We need him to move powerfully. And I pray he would in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, the thing it starts off with in this passage, and it's a famous passage about spiritual warfare. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, we know God's strong, but it says we're supposed to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So there's a strength that we have, and then there's a strength that comes from God. Be strong in the Lord. It's from God. We know that. But it's not saying be strong with God's strength. It says be strong in the Lord. That means you are spiritually strong and in the power of his might. So be spiritually strong and make that strength in the power of his might. You're going to have to be strong, and God will give you the strength to do that. Then it says put on the armor of God, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. It doesn't just say put on the armor, but put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because they found out in modern warfare, we have all this armor, and we look at our military and all the armor they have. It's amazing. The Kevlar and the helmets and everything. They have all this amazing armor. But the enemy, they found out in Iraq, for example, when they're fighting, that the enemy talked about what spots are open on the armor. And they started shooting for the neck and the armpits and all kinds of little spots where they knew there was no protection in the armor. Why? It says take on the whole armor of God, because if you don't have your whole armor, the devil's going to find the weakness, the hole in your armor. The devil is constantly probing. He's going about seeking whom he may devour. He's trying to find a way to find a spot in you that is vulnerable. So he says take unto you the whole armor of God. Why? Because we're in a war. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You're in a war, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Your war is not with humans. And please understand that. If you have someone trying to draw you away from God, that person's not the enemy. Your war is not with flesh and blood. If you have someone who discourages you, or someone who's against you, or someone who's battling against you, don't make your war with them. Your war is not with flesh and blood. It's with principalities and powers. There are powers behind that might be controlling them. They might be in bondage. They might need you to deliver them. Your battle is not with humans. Your battle is not a physical battle. It's not even an intellectual battle. It's not that you're smart enough or that you're strong enough physically. That's not what kind of war it is. It's a war in the spiritual world. So many times I find someone who wants to serve God and wants to get victory, and they struggle and struggle, and they pop into church sometime, or they'll call me and they'll say, you know, I'm really deciding, and I'm just gonna decide, and with my willpower, I'm gonna do the right thing. Well, it's not the kind of war you're fighting. There's things you do with your willpower. And it gets you up in the morning and makes you go to work and makes you decide to do your laundry and a bunch of things where you decide in your physical strength you need to do these things, okay? That's good, and your willpower is important. But understand, the spiritual thing you can't do because you're determined and you have a strong will. That might lead you to do the things you need to do, but this is a spiritual war. It's a spiritual war. In the same way... If someone walks up and says, I'm going to kill you, man. I'm going to beat you up. And you say, I'm going to out-math you. 2 + 2 = 4. 4 + 4 = 8. Well, you're going to lose that war because that's not the kind of war it is. Okay? And if you try in the flesh to fight a war that God says, hey, you're not fighting against humans. You're fighting against demons and devils. He says in 2 Corinthians 4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, physical, fleshly, but spiritual. To pulling down of strongholds. So God gives you a list of weapons, and it's actually not the lesson today, all the weapons, but he gives you all the armor, that your feet shod, and the breastplate of righteousness, and the shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and many others. And he gives us these things we're supposed to use to fight, and they're all very important. But the lesson today is to be strong. Because someone with all the armor, all the weapons, if they're afraid... Listen, you can have a gun, and if someone's coming at you in a gun, and you're going, it doesn't matter that you have a gun. If you are not strong enough to fight, if you're not strong enough, you can have the best sword in the world. If you're not strong enough to lift it, it doesn't matter. You got to be strong. Paul said in many different ways, he said, listen, endure hardness as a good soldier. You've got to be strong. You've got to have strength to do these things. And then he says at the end, praying, verse 18, with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit. All these weapons and all the things, he says, hey, the shield of faith is not a physical thing. The sword of the Spirit is the Bible. You're supposed to fight in this spiritual realm, but you must be strong. See, if you're not strong, you won't even bother to quote the Bible against the devil. If you're not strong, the devil gets you so discouraged, you'll just say, now church can impact you and help you, and you can come to church and God will change your life and work in a powerful way, but if you're not strong, you won't go to church. One of the first things I always have to tell a young pastor when he talks about this, he'll say, listen, the people who need to come to church don't show up. And I'll tell them, yep, welcome to the ministry. People who need it the most aren't there. And never prepare a message for somebody because that person is not going to be there when you preach on it. And don't scold people for not coming to church because the people who aren't coming to church aren't there anyway. You're scolding the good people. I'll still scold you, don't worry. But why? Because they're not strong enough to do that. They're not strong enough to do what would give them the victory. So there is some strength you have to have. In other words, God's got every tool, every spiritual weapon, every spiritual defense. God has the power to give you victory, but we have to be strong enough to access those things, to run to the armory and to grab those things, then to fight. Just because you have the weapons doesn't mean you're going to fight. And we've got to be strong. We've got to be spiritually strong. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. I'll show you a bunch of verses on this. And how often God tells us to be strong. And I'm not going to scratch the surface of the verses that tell you to be strong, but I'm going to give you a bunch of them. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So he says, be strengthened. And he's praying about that. Now let me just go through a bunch of verses. I'll go back to 1 Corinthians and chapter 16. You can turn to all these or you can listen as I read all of them. Either way is fine with me. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. You're commanded to be strong. Colossians, in chapter 1. I'm just going to give you a bunch of verses throughout the Bible that tell you to be strong. Or prayers that you would be strong. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Notice you're strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. So we're strengthened, but it's his strength. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Chapter 4 and verse 17, 2 Timothy 4:17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Watch a video this week of a coach for Oklahoma whose wife was killed tragically in a wreck. And he, at the funeral, he was saved and talked about his wife being in heaven, and he was standing there in front of the place. He had a great message about Jesus Christ and his wife, and he had four kids with him when she was killed, I think by a drunk driver, and this man. And I thought, wow. Told my family, I said, that guy has a heart of steel to stand at your wife's funeral and preach a message and encourage everybody else, and not a break in his voice, not anything, and talk about how much he loves his wife. I know you all women said, he needed to cry to be better. I know, but it would have been fine, and it would have been good, and he should have cried, okay? Don't hate me, ladies. And he shouldn't have been able to say anything, and he should have not done the funeral. But since he did, he had a message, and he was strong enough to give that great message, and they showed it at the halftime on TNT, his entire message, because he's strong enough to do it. Now, he would have to have God's power to really speak to hearts and to help people understand the scriptures, but it was good. And he was strong enough to be an encouragement to somebody else when he was hurting. It takes strength. And all of us can't be strong in every single thing, but sometimes God just gives grace, and sometimes you decide to be strong, and sometimes when you're in a situation and someone's getting you frustrated, you say, you know what, I'm just gonna, because you're weak and decide to be weak. Sometimes a temptation comes, the drug or the alcohol or the crime or whatever it is that gets you, or the bad language, and you would say, no, I'm strong. No, it's weakness. You are not strong enough to resist that. You're not strong enough to resist a pretty girl. You're not strong enough to resist a little alcohol. You're not strong enough to resist cussing. You're not strong enough to resist lying. You're not strong enough to resist revenge. It takes strength to make the choice. Now, when you make the choice, you have a God who has all the strength you need. But you have to be strong. You want to be a good Christian, you have to be strong. You cannot be weak. You cannot just give in. You cannot buckle and do good things for God. It's strength. And all these verses and more we'll read talk about getting strength and having strength and being strong. 1 Peter, again, I'm just giving you more verses about being strong, where God says we need to be strong. 1 Peter and chapter 5 and verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. And again, other verses we could read. You have to be strong. You have to be strong spiritually. It's a spiritual war. Now strengthen with his might. Strengthen with his grace. We've read all those things. Strengthen with his power. All these things, you have to be strong. I had years ago, my first time I went to Haiti, I went 6 years ago, and didn't know what I was getting into. I didn't know what it was like there. It was shortly after the earthquake, and after the bad earthquake, and the country's in bad shape, but it was in really bad shape. And I'd been to poverty, I'd been to dangerous many times, but I'd never been to a country like that. And I never went to situations like that when I started traveling around the country. And And I was with Haitians, and I wasn't with any Americans at all. And so I told him, just send me wherever you want me to go. I'll go there, and I'll be fine. And as I was there, I got a little sick. And I'd never been sick in the field before, and I got sick. And I was pretty sick, but I didn't tell anybody because great things were happening. I didn't want anybody to know I was sick. I knew I had something that was tropical flu-like, but I just kept on going. But I was pretty worried about hydration. I was losing fluids fast. And so I was drinking unbelievable amounts of liquid. I was guzzling. And I was functional. I preached multiple times every day, traveled all over. Nobody knew I was sick. I didn't tell anybody until the end. Probably should have. And went back home. And when I got back home, I was just weak. Oh, so weak. And I'm usually have lots of energy and feel good and can do lots of stuff. And I was just weak. Get to do stuff for a while, just dead. I am so tired. And kept on having that over and over. And finally, about 2 months in, I didn't have a doctor, didn't have insurance. And finally, I had to take my kids to the pediatrician and have a really good Christian pediatrician. And so I said to him, I said, you know, I picked up something. And I said, it wouldn't worry me at all, but I'm just so weak still. It's been 2 months. I'm still weak. And so I started asking about my symptoms and stuff like that. And he said, you know, that sounds like cholera. And I said, you know, it's funny, me being Mr. Observant. I said, there was a cholera epidemic where I was. I said, WHO, World Health Organization, was all over. There were people going around with loudspeakers saying there's a cholera epidemic. And if you have these symptoms, go there. And I said, yeah, there was an epidemic where I was, in the city I was in. And he said, I think you had cholera. And I said, isn't that really bad? And he said, well, yeah. But he said something strange to me I didn't know. And he said, but you know what? You're fine. He says, cholera is fatal a lot of times. But he said, you're strong and you're healthy and you're hydrated. And he came back to America. And he says it's a flu, it's severe diarrhea and it's a fever. And he said, I'm really surprised you went and did stuff. He didn't just lay in bed, but he said, it kills so many people in those countries because their health is already compromised. And he said, to a healthy, strong American who has a body full of food and some fat to burn, and I have that, praise God. And your body, when you start get it, is already well hydrated. Your cells aren't kind of dry. And you're strong, and you're going to be able to breathe when your body is weak. Because a lot of times people just stop breathing because they're too weak. He says a lot of times it's because they're already compromised is why it kills them. He says you'll be fine. Your body already killed the everything that was in your system. He says it just took a lot out of you because you kept on going and did all that stuff. And so you had that. But he says, the same is true of malaria. Malaria is not really that dangerous. If a healthy person in a healthy country who has all kinds of nutrition in his body and all kinds of fluids and is strong and in shape and healthy, they get malaria. He says, many times, they'll just think they have a minor flu. It's a little bit of a fever. But he says, you give someone whose body's already compromised, they're already malnourished. They already don't have enough fluids in their system. They're already weak. They don't have any muscle tone because they don't have the food and protein in their system to build muscles. And all of a sudden, they start getting a fever. Their immune system's not working good. And he says, now understand, malaria and cholera can kill a healthy person too. We know that. But he says, it's usually because their body is weak, is why it kills people in these countries so much. They're really not that bad of diseases. Do you know the flu's the same way? For certain people, the flu is fatal. For most people, that same flu is miserable. When I get the flu, I want to die, by the way. And even so, take me, Lord, and I'm ready. That's it. In the last couple years, 87.9% of flu deaths were somebody 65 or older. Now, that's a small percent of the population, but it's 88% of the deaths. Why? Because they're 75 years old and they're running the fever and they're losing fluids and they're weak. So I'll be going to Zambia. In Zambia, I'll face health challenges, and I'll do all the things and that I should do traditionally medically, okay, and do that. But I've been all over the world, and I am not. I go in the middle of the boonies. I sleep in the huts. I eat the food of whatever it is. Now the only thing I do is I'm very careful about water. Pretty careful with the water because I can be, and nobody gets offended at that. But I've eaten stuff. And you know what I do? You can't get a shot against everything. You just can't. There's just things they don't have shots for. There's things you'll face that they don't give in America. There's things in different countries that are new that they don't even know about yet. I'm going to face germs in Zambia, and I'll be in Haiti again, and I'll probably be in the Philippines again this year. And when I go to these countries, you know what I'll do before I get there? I'll work out. I'll get in shape. I will take great nutrition before I go. I'll take the best vitamins in the world with me, literally with me. Most vitamins don't work. I'll take the best vitamins in the world with me. I will be full of those things before I get there. I will make my system be strong. So when I get there, no matter what my body faces, I don't know what it'll face. There's only so many things you can protect against in the middle of a village in the middle of Africa. Okay? I don't have, their body is immune to a lot of the stuff. My body isn't. They don't even know they have it there. Okay? What'll I do? I will make myself as strong as I possibly be so my immune system will fight off whatever I face. I want to be strong because I don't know what I'm going to face. If I am weak, I'm going to get very sick no matter how careful I am. Now that is the exact same thing as a spiritual realm. If you are strong, whatever the devil throws at you, you can handle it. If you're compromised, it won't take much and it can be fatal. That's why the Bible says be strong spiritually. Because the devil's going to throw things at you. Listen, every time God starts wanting to use somebody, immediately temptation starts coming. Jesus, before he started doing his miracles, faced 40 days in the wilderness. It's very common. And you are going to be attacked and you don't know what you're going to face this week. But the devil knows what you fall for. The devil knows what you're weak at. And if you have a temper problem, guess who he's going to put as a coworker next to you? If you have a problem with anger, guess who's going to get in the traffic jam? You. If you have a problem with lust, guess what's going to be playing on TV when you're walking through the mall? You have to just be strong spiritually because temptations are going to come at you and you're going to be, if you are weak, your spiritual immune system, your strength is not going to say, I'm going to fight. It's going to say, too tired. If you get so tired sometimes, you don't care. I know I should go to work. I know I should go do this thing. I'm just too tired. You ever start giving up? You ever know you should stand for something, but you're just too tired to fight? When you get weak, you lose your fight. Do you know why? Before I was pastor, I never missed church because I was weak. I was too weak. Do you know why I still don't miss church? Because I'm weak. And I need to be strengthened a lot. You know why I never misread my Bible? It's not very strong. I need to read the Bible every single day. By the way, I don't know how some of you don't read your Bible for a week and survive. You know how wicked I'd be if I didn't read my Bible? I would be so weak. I just would be. If I have to pray. I'm not very strong. I don't miss any of those things. I don't miss prayer. I don't miss Bible time. I don't miss church. I don't miss anything. You know why I don't miss those things? Because I face too much. And I'm not very strong. That's why. And you know what? Because I've done that, I've been serving the Lord coming on 30 years, I've never backslidden. Never. You can go back. You won't find me out of church. You won't find me doing deep, dark sin. You won't find me drifting away from God. You won't find me drifting away. Why? Because I'm always intaking good stuff and always strengthening myself and always trying to become stronger. Why? Because I'm weak. and because I want my immune system built. Now, I don't always go to the third world, and I admit it, I'm not working out a lot of times. I'm not always eating right. Hate to admit it, because I don't need to. I can stay pretty healthy eating bacon double cheeseburgers. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I can do all right. Okay. I can be okay. I just get extra lettuce, so I feel good. And on my burger. And ketchup's made of tomatoes, right? So I'm good. But you know what? I don't always work out, and I don't always eat right. But when I'm getting ready to face something, I do. When I'm getting ready to go to a third world, I lose weight, I gain muscle, I start eating right, I start taking vitamins, and I start getting all this good stuff in my system, and I build myself up because I want to be strong when I get there, because I'm going to be hiking through some jungles. You ever hike through the jungle when it's 95 degrees and 90% humidity? It's not fun. And you get tired. Just face high humidity, you get tired really fast. And I need to be healthy so I can go hike through somewhere and then preach somewhere. You ever preach in a room with 100 people that's with 200 people in a room half this size? when it's about 200 degrees, it seems like, outside in high humidity. And they're all jumping around excited and praising the Lord and singing and clapping. I'm going, I don't want to do any extra energy right now. You guys are crazy. And you know why? If I'm weak and not in shape, I'm like, all right, we're going to have a 5-minute message here. For God so loved the world. Okay, invitation time. And why? Because I'm tired. I don't want to be like that. And so when we go and try to be, because we are so weak, because we have such a society that draws us away from God and so many temptations, you've got to be strong. So you've got to decide, I've got to have the strength of God. Why? You might face spiritual malaria. The flu might not hurt you at all. It might not be fatal. But if you, one little temptation. I've seen people take one little step into one little temptation and just kind of slide down the hill and ruin their whole life. Just one night with this, one day with this, one time with this friend, smoking this one time, just this one drink, and all of a sudden, whew, they find themselves way down the hill because it could be fatal, even though it's a low-grade fever. The American Indians didn't have immune systems for the European diseases. And things that the Americans dealt with and had, and or the Americans, the Europeans had, when the Indians got that disease in their village, it destroyed it. Why? Their system couldn't fight it. And when you aren't spiritually strong, and you're worn down, and you're weak, and all of a sudden the devil attacks you and you get an attack. It might not have been that big a deal, but you weren't strong. You missed church for 2 weeks. You haven't been in your Bible. You've been letting bad things in your life, and you've been beat down, beat down, beat down, and now you're sick, and now you're in real trouble. Now you can't even get back up. Now you're too sick to go to the hospital. And so you don't do that. Let me give you a few thoughts on this. Number one, his strength makes it so you can handle anything. Now I want to go to Philippians 4 and kind of hang around there a little bit. Philippians 4. His strength makes it so you can handle anything. I want you to understand, the devil can never throw anything at you that God's strength cannot make you able to handle it. His grace is sufficient. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. You think that malaria is a terrible, life-threatening, awful disease, and it is terrible. It kills so many hundreds of thousands of people every year. But malaria, if one of you here is in good shape and you eat well and you're healthy, you would catch malaria and you would survive. Some of you, it might not even be in you in a day, and your body would kill it. But there are, I understand there's strains that are very dangerous for anybody, but in general, it sounds so bad and everybody's so afraid of it, but it's really as much a matter of compromised bodies. And you understand that. Your temptation you think is hopeless. Your temptation you think you can never conquer. Your weakness, your thing the devil always gets you on, you think, well, this never changes. It's not a matter of that thing is so powerful. It's a matter of you not been strengthened properly. God's power is greater. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? Are you following me here? So the devil's told you, you'll never change this. You can never overcome this. You can never be out of this. No, you just haven't had the strength for that particular strain that comes at you. But now strengthen yourself. Number one, his strength makes it so you can handle anything that comes along. Watch what Paul says. This is a famous passage here, but people don't always read verse 10 through 12. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were careful, but you lacked opportunity. What he just said is, I'm glad you're given to me again. You wanted to give to me, but you couldn't. Now he's going to tell them, I'd be fine if you did not give to me. I can handle anything. But I'm glad you're given to me again for my ministry. Verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know about both how to be abased, and I know how to be abound. Abased means made low. Abound means made high. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He says, if you didn't give to me, I've already learned how to handle anything. I can, life can be going very bad, I'll be fine. I can be very poor, it'll be fine. I can be on the top of the world, I'll be fine. That's not going to ruin me either. I can handle a base or a bound, anything. I'm instructed in all things. I can handle anything. If you wouldn't have given to me, I want you to know I'd have been fine. That's a spirit that's strong. See that? I'll be all right. No, I can handle it. If you don't give, it doesn't matter. I've already been taught by God, and I can do this, and I'll be okay. What's the next verse? The verse everybody quotes so often. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Who's strengthened in that verse? Philippians 4:13. No. Who strengthened? Paul. Whose strength? Christ. What does that mean? Paul said, it doesn't matter what happens, I'll be fine. Why? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I, with God's strength, can handle anything. That's what Philippians 4:13 means. It means God, now who, wait a minute, who can do all things? Let's quote the verse here. Who can do all things? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul. Paul is so strong, he says, I can do all things. Anything I have to do, I can do. He's strong. See the strength he has? Now, does he know where the strength comes from? Through Christ. But Paul's the strong one. He strengthened me. See, you have to be strong, and God will give you the strength to be strong. That's important, a distinction there. It is not God be strong for me. God's strong. Okay? But he's not facing the temptation. You're facing the temptation. So you need his strength in you, and you can handle anything. So, but you've got to choose to be strong, and you've got to choose to get his strength. But when you have his strength is enough for anything. Understand that. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. His strength makes it so you can handle anything. Watch what Paul talks about himself. He talks about incredible trials and says, I handled it. It's fine. God gave me the strength. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me take you there. Spiritual wimps can't do anything for God. Cowards will not be great Christians. People who choose to give in and buckle when the pressure comes won't be good Christians. You got to be strong. If you want to go to church every Sunday, you have to be strong to do that. By the way, I never choose to go to church. I made a choice to go to church. Okay? I go to church. I don't decide every Sunday if I'm going to church. What a dumb thing to do. Don't decide every morning if you're going to go to work. Should I go to work today? Should I not? You're going to miss a lot of work. You say, I go to church. You don't say, I'm going to choose if I'm going to eat today. You don't do that. You say, I go to church, and it's Sunday. And your relatives call and say, hey, come. It's Sunday. I go to church. I already chose. I go to church all the time. But you got to be strong to do that, because guess what's going to happen? Everything's going to come up on Sunday, and you're going to need to go do something else. And you have to be strong. And every fun thing everybody invites you to. And the Seahawks will start winning. And the games will be on. And two Sunday playoff games in a row, Sunday morning this year. Why? Because you got to, it's a hard choice. You got to be strong. Got to love Jesus enough. Oh, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I better get away from the Seahawks thing or I'm going to get in trouble. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 4. But in all things, have proven ourselves as the ministers of Christ, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watching, in fasting, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor, by dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. You see the strength there? Just says, I'm going through everything, but it's all right. I'll be all right. I've been going through all these things, just part of the ministry. It's okay. That's strength. Nowadays, we get so weak. We say, "Why, man, I can't do anymore. I'm just going to take a break. I'm going to go away for 4 weeks. I'm going to pop some pills." And Paul was being beaten, whipped, thrown into jail, mocked. And he says, that's what we need to do for the ministry, because he had great strength. He had great strength. And he said, "I am going to take all these things for God. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Lots of ups and downs, but he's strong, so he could handle it. He knew what could come along. Next, it is his strength, but it is God's strength, but it strengthens us. We read so many verses. I'm going to go back to Colossians 1. I kind of like that verse, and all these verses are great, but about the strength. But Colossians 1, you'll need strength from God. Your willpower won't do it. Colossians 1:11. This is one of the many verses we read. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering and joyfulness. Strengthened with all might, there's plenty there, according to his glorious power. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. God will give me the strength. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. God will give you the strength to handle anything. It's a matter if you take his strength. But you got to be strong to handle these things. Number three, the points are real simple. His strength makes it so you can handle anything that comes along. Two, it is his strength, but it strengthens us. Number three, stay spiritually healthy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. A couple verses here that are kind of interesting. 1 Timothy 4. Verse 7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little. Amen. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having a promise to the life that now is and that was to come. Notice he says, exercise yourself unto godliness, because godliness is profitable in all things, in your marriage, in your finances, in everything. It is like that. Exercise. The word exercise, that means take off your warm-up clothes before the event and warm up. That's what exercise means. It literally means work out and warm up. So I'll be April 12th. I head to Zambia. 32-hour flight. 32 hours of travel. And 32 hours of travel and to get there. By the way, I'm automatically going to be tired when I get there, because the can't sleep good in an airplane very good. You know, I sleep okay, but not great. And then layovers and everything else and just getting there, I'll be tired. So I'm starting now working out. You knew that, right? You could tell. And but I'm starting now. And so I am exercising myself. Now, there's a lot of work to do. I've become a well-rounded Christian in the last few months in more ways than one. And so I got to start working out. Exercise yourself to godliness. Strengthen yourself. I will start. There's some very expensive vitamins that I get. I won't take those until they're too expensive. I won't take those until I'm about 2 weeks out. I find your nutrition gets built up about 2 weeks before, and I'll start taking the really expensive stuff and the upper end stuff, preparing myself and working out and working on my leg muscles, working on other muscles and strengthening my back, because it's hard to be sitting and bouncing around in those terrible vehicles and those terrible roads and doing all kinds of things. Why? Because it's so important that I'm ready for the trip. But you know what's more important? That I'm spiritually ready. You ever see how much effort people put into getting into shape? You ever see the weird things they eat? I mean, weird stuff. They eat all kinds of weird seaweed and shark tooth and ground up spider eggs and whatever else. I mean, just what are you eating, man? Health isn't that important. And all kinds of weird stuff. And you're going, good night, eye of newt and stew and what are you eating? And they change. Ever see somebody get serious about nutrition? Now they're working out every day and they change your whole diet. And they are, and I mean, they put effort and money. It gets expensive. I mean, they put a lot of money into it, and they go to the health food store, and they buy the protein, and they buy this and that. And then, you know, people work hard to stay in physical shape. You can take a football player, you can have him work out all he wants. He's still not in football shape till he plays. Because they got to be so cutting edge. That little bit of difference makes a difference between an arm tackle and a full body tackle. And that speed makes it so you can just get past the defender. And all those things, they work on so hard. Their whole lives are based around it. And how hard do you work on staying spiritually in shape? You're doing something much more important than anybody in athletics. Exercise thyself unto godliness. Do you work hard that hard in staying spiritually? You know, once you start getting spiritually healthy, you find out that the temptations are not nearly as big as they used to be to you. That guy used to slap you around, now you slap him around. Temptations, not people, don't do that. But why? Because you've gotten strong. You exercise yourself to godliness. You made yourself ready to face things, and now you're stronger. But man, when you are weak, you're constantly saying, oh, I wish you wouldn't have done that. Oh, I wish you wouldn't have done that. Oh, I wish you wouldn't have done that. Don't live your life saying, I wish you wouldn't have done that. What a way to live. I wish I hadn't. I wish I hadn't. That shouldn't be your epitaph on your tombstone. He wished he hadn't. Life's too short. You've got a great God, and you can be strong and have victory, but you gotta work on it. Spend as much time making yourself spiritually strong as you would if you're going to be going to the Olympics. It's more important. Some things just, and I won't belabor them, really simple. You want to be spiritually strong? How do I get spiritually strong? How do I work myself out spiritually? First of all, you eat and drink healthy. Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Eat the milk and the meat. You eat properly the word of God. Be in this Bible all the time. It's your spiritual food. You know what you intake? Unfortunately, most people intake? Trash. You watch it on TV, you listen to it on the radio, you look at it on the internet, and you're taking in garbage and you want to be in good shape. You're eating Baconators 3 times a day and pizza for midnight snack. And you're saying, why aren't I healthy? You ever had somebody say, I don't know why I'm unhealthy? You don't? Really? You don't know why you're unhealthy? You ever had somebody say, I don't know why I'm overweight? You don't? I've eaten with you. You don't know? What's that? And by the way, I eat bad. I gain weight. I wish I was still like I was 18. When I was 18, I could eat anything, but it's not like that anymore. You know what? Eat right. Why don't you set no wicked thing before your eye, like Psalm 101 says? Why don't you not listen to garbage music? It's not helping your soul. Amen. I got the Seahawks, now I've got any music. I'm about done, and I'm going to be start a riot here. I don't talk about the food you eat. Oh, man. Oh, boy, I'm in trouble. Why don't you take in some good stuff? Eat healthy. bringing good stuff, the Word of God, preaching, good godly music, godly music. Eat healthy. Number two, be busy working. Exercise yourself in a godliness. You know, if you're busy enough and active enough, you stay in pretty good shape just naturally. If you're doing something. You know, if I lay around and do nothing, you're looking at a guy who gets pretty unhealthy pretty quick. My back starts getting bad. I start gaining weight. You got to be busy. And if you want to be spiritually healthy, get out there and help somebody. Go do things for God. Go make a difference in a life. Go lift a fallen person. Go feed a hungry person. Go pray for somebody. Go witness to somebody. Go to church and encourage somebody. But be busy spiritually. Don't just be laying around. You know, the Dead Sea is dead because all it does is take in. It doesn't have any outlet. And if you just go to church and hear the word and get fed and all you do is eat and you don't do anything, you get very unhealthy. Be active. Next, keep the impurities out. Keep the impurities out. We hit on that. Another thing, just as ideas to exercise yourself into godliness, go to the hospital when you're sick. The hospital is the church. A church is not a museum where we look at how spiritual we are. It's a hospital where we go to get better or to help somebody else get better. We either are treating somebody or getting treated. And that's fine. If you are struggling spiritually, come to church. People say, I'm too messed up to go to church. That's backward. It's like saying I'm too sick to go to the hospital. No. This is where you need to be when you're messing up. When you're weak, you need to be at church. And if you are healthy, you know what you need to do? You need to be at church to help somebody who's unhealthy. And to be there and to keep up and get a checkup and make sure you're still staying healthy. Exercise yourself to godliness. Have a strong spiritual immune system. Be strong in the Lord. I just want to ask you, you're facing these diseases. I don't know what diseases I'll face, so what do? Strengthen myself. What do you do to face your temptation? You got to get strong. You need to be at church tonight. You need to read your Bible every day. You need to be praying every day. You need to spend time with the one who's strong and ask for his strength. You need to do all these things. Strengthen yourself. And pretty soon, when you used to get pounded, pretty soon, your enemy looks at you and says, you've grown. You get on spiritual steroids for Jesus. And you get strong. And you start winning. But then many people, all week long in the world, listen to the world's news and TV and music and all that stuff, hanging around the world's people and just getting pounded. And then just one little thing comes and they're so, oh, I don't want to fight. Fine. Man, you got to exercise yourself to godliness. But the Bible says be strong in the Lord. His strength is made perfect in weakness. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If God be for us, who can be against us? We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. There's victory all over for you, but you got to be strong. Got to be strong. Let's pray. Father, I pray we'd learn to be strong in you. I pray we'd learn that some of these things that we think are so toxic.